G'day, it's Phil Edwards, Vision CEO here, with a quick invitation to become part of this amazing beacon of hope called Vision. Together we can put our love into action to help people of all kinds build or rebuild their lives on the truth of God. Please consider the part you can play during our upcoming Visionathon appeal, remembering that it's your support that makes Vision possible, including this podcast.
Life, culture, and current events from a biblical perspective. 2020 on Vision.
If there's something that should make us all uneasy about developments around the idea of getting a COVID jab, it might be around the issue of double standards. While getting a COVID jab is beginning to look like it may be a necessity and even compulsory for lots of workplaces to save lives, there's another jab that has an opposite effect, the jab that many of our state governments are promoting. It's the one that kills, a euthanasia jab. While governments are supposedly focused on saving lives through jabs, there's a broad group of politicians who want to give the sick and vulnerable a lethal jab. Well, Christian Democratic Party spokesman Lyle Shelton is joining us, concerned about double standards. Lyle, welcome back to 2020.
Yeah, thanks very much, Neil.
Lyle, it seems to be it's not just from one party or any sort of minority, but there are lots of politicians from all sides who have this same double standard when it comes to euthanasia.
Yeah, that's right, Neil. Here we are in the middle of a pandemic. The federal government is rolling out a national vaccination campaign designed to save lives, and whatever, you know, people will make their own choices about the vaccine. But the aim of the government is well motivated, and that is to try and prevent loss of life. And yet at the same time, now here in New South Wales, and also it's currently under debate in Queensland, is this issue of euthanasia, where we'd give a lethal jab to end lives of vulnerable people. So on one hand, you know, we're focused on saving lives of the vulnerable. On the other hand, using a lethal jab to end the lives of vulnerable and sick people. And look, it's never a good time to bring in a euthanasia bill. It's a bad public policy idea. But to introduce it in the middle of a pandemic when we're trying to save vulnerable lives just seems to be, it just jars. It's incongruous with what we're trying to achieve as a society.
You know, that image in your mind of, you know, putting the jab into your arm, and it's not about saving your life but taking it, that's challenging. And there are all sorts of creative ways too that euthanasia can happen, and these days even developing to the point where it could be pills in the mail, or as some people say, poison in the mail. There's all sorts of ways of taking the life, but all of it is in a sense here killing, isn't it?
It is killing, and it's a real shame that we've come to this point in recent years now where firstly Victoria in 2018 legalised euthanasia for the first time in Australia. Well, the second time since the Northern Territory in 1996, but that was overturned after a big debate in the federal parliament led by Kevin Andrews. And since that time, activists have been shopping euthanasia laws around the state parliaments, and it's always been defeated. During my time at ACL, we saw these bills defeated time and time again. Whenever politicians look at them carefully through parliamentary inquiries, taking evidence, talking to experts, they realise that this is not something that can be made safe. It's not something you can introduce without the risk of wrongful deaths of people who are vulnerable, feeling like the right to die it then becomes a duty to die. So this has been pushed in the political agenda nationally for a long time. Finally, the dam wall broke in Victoria in 2018. Then we've recently seen South Australia. That's the most recent. And prior to that, Western Australia. And now it's under debate in Queensland. And then this week, Alex Greenwich, an independent member of the New South Wales Parliament, has unveiled his bill for New South Wales. So we are being swamped with this agenda at the moment.
There's a cultural message that comes to everyone when they're confronted with these in news items and current affairs programs and all sorts of things that try to soften what euthanasia is. What are your thoughts about the sort of message that's received in the hearts and minds of the vulnerable?
Well, look, it's always put forward in very emotive terms, and I'm sure, Neil, many of your listeners, many of us, you know people who have had a bad death. There's no doubt that bad deaths do happen, and none of us want to see anyone suffer in their end-of-life stages, a loved one, a relative, a friend. We don't want to see that happen. And because, unfortunately, it does happen from time to time, that does, give some credence to the idea of euthanasia. People think, well, if someone's suffering, you know, why not end the suffering with a lethal jab? And my response to that is that we shouldn't turn doctors and healthcare into essentially killing. We should be focused on allowing people to die with dignity and without pain through proper end-of-life healthcare, through palliative care. And I guess what we've seen in recent times is a lack of adequate funding for palliative care. We know that when people are given proper end-of-life healthcare, the requests for euthanasia dry up to virtually nothing. And that's what the experts have told the various parliamentary inquiries, that if only we funded palliative care properly, instead of taking the cheap and, I would say, nasty option of offering assisted suicide instead of proper health care, there wouldn't be the demand for euthanasia if that proper health care was on offer.
You've got state governments left, right and centre going gung-ho to embrace euthanasia. Is it sending the message somehow, Lyle, that palliative care as the alternative somehow or other doesn't work, so we better go and give people the opportunity to voluntarily suicide? What are your thoughts around the importance of a focus on palliative care?
Look, it's really important, because once you change the equation in healthcare, where a doctor becomes not, goes from being someone who cares, whose Hippocratic oath is to do no harm, to someone who could be potentially the one administering your death, that completely changes the equation. And by changing the law so that so-called voluntary assisted dying becomes an option, actually sends a strong, powerful cultural message to those who are vulnerable, who are sick, who are in that, as I say, very vulnerable stage of life. The option to die can become a duty to die, and that pressure can be very real on someone in a vulnerable state. And we should never put a fellow human being in that state. We should value their life. They should be surrounded by the love and the care of their friends and family, and made as comfortable as possible, and that those end-of-life days, or however long it is that someone is with us in you know, preferably hospice care, that they are nurtured and they are loved and they feel that, and they die peacefully and pain-free in that sort of environment, which we know can be provided with the proper care. But euthanasia shatters all that, and causes us to go down a very utilitarian route, where we try and kill the patient instead of killing the pain.
Well, Lyle, we know you are in transition right now. You're working in communications and campaign strategies with the CDP, the Christian Democratic Party, and you are the designated replacement for the Reverend Fred Nile when he retires at the end of this year. But in New South Wales, in some sense, you would say you're holding the line in this issue of euthanasia, where the Premier, Gladys Berejiklian, has promised not to allow it in this term of government. How is that looking a little shaky?
Look, it is, and obviously huge pressure is being brought on Premier Berejiklian to renege on some comments that she made to some of her Liberal Party colleagues, and this was made after the controversial abortion to birth legislation was passed in 2019, which really tore the Liberal Party and the National, well, more so the Liberal Party in New South Wales apart. Premier Berejiklian reportedly promised her colleagues that there'd be no more of these controversial conscience votes during this term of Parliament. Now, that's been reported in the media, And we as the Christian Democratic Party would be calling upon her to uphold that that promise that's been reportedly made and not allow this legislation to be brought on. This is being pushed by the likes of Alex Greenwich and a Nationals MP by the name of Trevor Kahn. The Nationals used to be a conservative political party, but here in New South Wales, they are in league with the radical green left social policy. And we'd be urging that the Premier not to give in to these radical elements, but to ensure that this isn't given time in the Parliament, and that that indeed the New South Wales government focuses its efforts on proper funding of palliative care, not on giving out lethal jabs as supposed healthcare.
No doubt this new bill for New South Wales will have all sorts of strict parameters, but you are a little suspicious that just like everywhere else, those become slippery slopes and all sorts of things come in eventually. Is that something that listeners today ought to be concerned about?
Yeah, they should. And this is, look, it's wrong to use killing as healthcare. That's the first point. But it's always sold on the basis of this will be strict, you know, won't be open to abuse, people won't be coerced in any way. It will only be for people who, you know, are terminally ill and suffering intractable pain. This is how it's sold to the community. But of course, it never stays there. And in Belgium and Holland and places like this, the mentally ill now have access to euthanasia. You do not have to be in intractable physical pain. If you're in mental pain, you can have euthanasia. Now, we should be helping those people, not killing them. And, of course, the Queensland bill, an early draft a few weeks ago, it was reported in the Australian newspaper that provision was being made for people who are suffering mentally to also access euthanasia under the Queensland legislation. Now, whether that makes it into the final bill, time will tell, but that was certainly on the table. So, you know, before the slope even gets slippery, the advocates of euthanasia are applying the grease. It just never stops. There's always creep, and it becomes a very, very dangerous piece of legislation. I mean, in Holland, for instance, they've now got protocols for euthanizing children. It just goes on and on. We should be focused on proper care for those who are suffering, and we've got excellent ability to do that through palliative care. It's an amazing medical discipline, but it's chronically underfunded. And if we go down the path of euthanasia, we allow our politicians to squib the proper funding of palliative care and take the cheap and nasty way out. And that will inevitably result in wrongful deaths of people who have died because they felt they had an obligation to give up their hospital bed, or granny who perhaps, you know, was pushed a bit by the family who were eyeing a lucrative inheritance. All sorts of mixed motives get tied up in this if we go down this path.
Well, Lyle Shelton, you point out the double standard at play. When we talk double standards, we're talking another word that often we'll like to talk about, and it's often used in criticism of Christians, the idea of hypocrisy. But here's a clear example of hypocrisy in the way that we deal with the jabs to save people's lives from COVID and a jab to take people's lives in euthanasia. And for listeners who want to connect with Lyle Shelton, and as I said, he's preparing to take over the upper house seat held by the Reverend Fred Nile in November this year, when the Reverend Nile will retire. You can connect with Lyle Shelton at lyleshelton.com.au, and you'll be able to access Lyle's blogs, his thoughts on things that are developing not only in New South Wales, but affecting every Australian. Lyle Shelton, thanks so much for your update today on 2020.
Thanks for having me, Neil.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.